The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Welcome to History Hour, celebrating the rich history of Long Island. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Hi, I'm Dale Spencer, your host on 103.9 History Island. Oh, welcome back. So today, we've taken a little trip. We were in Setauket last week, and we left, and we traveled down the road, and we wound up in a local village, Stony Brook Village, right down the road. Well, Stony Brook Village, pretty amazing village, and we're going to talk a lot about that on tonight's show. I'd like to thank my producers, Mike Scudero and John Gifford, my research director, Janet Rishpeter, and the station itself. Okay, thank you very much. So now before we really get started, I want to talk about a man, James Red Dowling. He was a friend of mine. He was 99 years old when he died in May of last year. And just today, he's a local Smithtown guy. And just today, they dedicated a ball field, the Mauritius baseball field in Wisconsin, to his memory and named it after him. I'm mentioning this man because he was an amazing American hero. He was a World War II vet. He was captured as a prisoner of war. If you want to read a lot more about him, read Tom Brokaw's book, The Greatest Generation. And he has a whole chapter on Jim, or Red, as we would call him. He later became the highway superintendent of Smithtown. He did that job from 1960 to 1998. And one of the things not too many people know about him is he specialized in restoring old cars, and he would do it himself, and he loved old cars. Well, anyway, James, I want to thank you. You're an American hero, and the life and everything you gave to Long Island and this town. We all celebrate your history. So anyway, we're going to go on a visit to Stony Brook tonight. My wife and I took a trip to Stony Brook this weekend to do a little research for our show, and we had an amazing visit there. We showed up on Saturday in the afternoon, and in this small little village, there was more things going on than you would find in 10 blocks in a big city. There was a jazz festival going on the lawn. The village center was open with ice cream and food and different things, a coffee shop that makes great coffee there. My wife went shopping in a few of the shops. We took a stroll down to the marina, the most beautiful views of the North Shore of Long Island you could ever imagine. We also stopped by the Cultural Center, which is soon going to become a museum of its own, the Long Island Music Hall of Fame, but we'll talk more about that on another episode. That's not for today, because there's a lot to tell about that. Now, one thing I did when I was there was I stopped by this little church. I saw it up on the hill, and it was open. And a beautiful church, and it's called the All Souls Church. It was actually designed and built by Stanford White, the great architect. And the church is open every day for people. A beautiful old building. And I managed to hook up with the membership chairman of that church, and that's Mr. Daniel B. Kerr. And so he's going to come on. He's going to tell us a little about some of the events and some of the things that are going on there. So here we go. Hey, Daniel, how are you doing today?
Hey, Dale. Good to talk to you. And I'm so glad, as the guy who opens the doors, they say, I'm so glad you and your wife got to visit the church.
Well, thank you for opening the doors that day, because it was quite a visit. I was really blown away by what a beautiful building it was.
Yeah. The church, in one form or another, has actually been there since before the Civil War. The historic chapel, which is on the National Registry of Historic Places, as you mentioned, was designed by Stanford White, and it's been there since 1896. So much has changed in Stony Brook Village over the last couple hundred years, but we've always stood right there at the entrance of Stony Brook on the hill.
Yeah, just an amazing place. I know that I recognized it right away, that design, because we used to have a Stanford White church in my hometown of Lake Ronkonkoma, and unfortunately lost it over the years when they ripped it down to build a new church. So you guys are so lucky to have that historic building there.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I did a little bit of research knowing that I was going to be on tonight. That church, you know, you figure 1896, so roughly, you know, the 1900s, At that time, the average life expectancy in the United States, I looked it up today, was 50 years old. So although it's a beautiful little chapel up at the top of the hill, our mission statement in the church says that we meet people wherever they are on their spiritual journey, but we've come to realize that you can't meet people where they are when they can't make it up the hill. So what we've decided to do, we're going to be holding our 14th annual Souls for All Souls 5K race and 2K walk this coming Sunday, October 2nd. And the purpose of that event is really to do two things. One, it celebrates the role of the church in the community, and it also raises funds to make the church handicapped accessible. So we do a lot of things. You know, on Sunday, we do services there. But as you pointed out, the church is open for prayer and reflection every day. We also do monthly concerts. We do monthly poetry programs with the Poet Laureate of Long Island. We do Native American drumming, and we do that every month. And every week we do, in addition to our Sunday services, we do interfaith morning prayer services and interdenominational rosary as well. The reality is there's lots of folks that just can't make it up that hill. So this race that we do celebrates the role of the church in the community. But also what it does is it raises funds to make the church accessible. And since we've been doing this, this is now our 14th year, we've raised over $70,000 towards the project to make the church accessible.
Wow, quite impressive. And I can definitely speak to climbing the hill because I went up all those steps the other day to go inside. And it's quite a chore to get up there.
Yeah. And, you know, when folks look at the various races, you know, this is the time of year that it seems everybody has a race or a walk. Ours is probably the most diverse of the walks and runs on Long Island. So if you look at the start line each year, and you're going to see serious runners looking at their watch, taking their pulse and so forth. You're going to see parents pushing little children in baby carriages. You're going to see senior citizens with their walking sticks. You're going to see people walking their dogs. So it's quite a diverse group. And, you know, for the serious runners, we give a trophy for the overall male winner, the overall female winner. Also, for the various age groups, several different age groups, starting with, you know, below 14 all the way up to over 80, you know, we actually set up an Olympic-style award ceremony. We give gold, bronze, and silver medals for winners in the different age groups. And also, we have a lot of fun as well. We also, quite a few people like to come and run or walk in costumes. So we give awards for the bravest costume, the most creative costume, and the most memorable costume. And also we have probably Port Jefferson's most well-known band, Davenport, performs throughout the award ceremony. And various vendors like the Three Village Inn and others have donated raffles that we give out during our award ceremony. So I encourage your anyone who's interested in having a lot of fun on Sunday and also contributing a good cause to join us for the race and the run. The registration is actually at the Roboli Center for the Art and History right there on 64 Main Street. So registration is from 7:30 to 8:45, and then the race kicks off. Actually, it's a beautiful route through the streets of Stony Brook. It starts at 9 o'clock, so we actually gather and finish in front of the historic church.
Oh, so what time would you suggest people show up if they want to register and get involved?
Registration is from 7:30 to 8:45 at the Roboli Center. Roboli Center, the address there is 64 Main Street. It's almost directly across from the Three Village Inn.
Oh, okay. We did a visit to the Roboli Center also the other day, and then what an amazing place that also is.
Yeah, and we've got a connection with them, with the Roboli Center. Next time you go into All Souls Church, you're going to see a little plaque there in honor of Anna Jasinski. And people who go to the Roboli Center say, gee, this building looks like a bank, and that's because it used to be a bank. And Anna Jasinski worked at that bank for many years. Unfortunately, she was hit and killed by a car in 1961. But she has a very special relationship with Joe Roboli. Joe Roboli, the internationally known artist who the center is named after, he always knew he was going to be a famous artist. And people asked him, well, how did you know you were going to be famous? He said, well, when they would do an art show in junior high, he was the only one with the artwork always sold out. What he didn't know, Anna Jasinski, who was his aunt, used to always arrange in advance to buy up all the art. So Joe's stuff always sold out.
Hey, Dan, we're running up against a break. Could you hang on a minute and come back after the break?
Happy to.
Okay, thanks. And here we're on History Island on 103.9 FM, Long Island Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dale Spencer, and we'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to History Island on Long Island News Radio 103.9 FM. I'm your host, Dale Spencer. Thank you for coming. I'd just like to mention as we go along that we are proudly sponsored by Gino's Pizza of Lake Ronkonkoma. Gino's Pizza has been voted the number one pizza place on Long Island for the last 2 years running. We go there all the time, and believe me, you can have a great meal there. Talk about the San Gennaro feast and everything that's been going on with the great Italian food. Well, that's a place to go for some great Italian food, and they'll treat you like your family when you're there. So take a visit and come on down to Gino's Pizza. So anyway, we've been talking to Daniel Kerr, the membership chairman of the historic All Souls Church. So Daniel, you want to tell me a little more about that Joseph Riboli story?
Sure. So it was his aunt that gave him the sense of confidence when he was a young man to know that he was going to be a great artist, and the plaque is in her honor. And I interviewed Joe's widow, Lois, who runs the Riboli Center. And, you know, we get a lot of visitors to the church, you know, for our monthly programs, and each time we have visitors, I tell them, since we've been around since the Civil War, and there's lots of stories to tell, I always, you know, just tell one story about the history of the church. So to complete that Anna Jasinski-Joe Riboli connection, Joe was actually baptized at All Souls. Joe used to be an altar boy at All Souls, and he and Lois were actually married at All Souls as well. So there's a deep connection between us and the Riboli family.
Oh, wow. A real part of his life and very typical of what I've seen in the town there. It's such a connected town. Everybody just seems to be connected to one another in some way over there.
Yeah. The other thing is interesting, when people come into the church, they'll notice, and I'm sure you saw it, that beautiful stained glass window in back of the altar. And that that stained glass window, which is St. Elizabeth from Hungary, who was kind of the thought to be the Mother Teresa of her day, although she was a princess, so she never took the vow of poverty. That window is in honor of Jonas and Nancy Smith. Jonas Smith was actually Stony Brook's first millionaire. And to give you some idea of their wealth, the Three Village Inn was their summer home.
Wow. Wow, I never heard that piece of history before.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other bit of local history I'll mention is that we have an organ in there, which was, you know, before the Civil War, all the organs were built in Europe and then shipped over here. One of the first organ builders on this side of the Atlantic was a fellow by the name of Henry Urban. So we actually have a original Urban organ that's been used in services since before the Civil War. And that was actually donated to the church by a woman who, two of her children were Clint Smith, who your folks from Smithtown will remember. Clint Smith was one of the famous local people that went down with the Titanic. And her daughter was Bessie Smith, who was the wife of Stanford White. And that was the woman who actually gave us the organ that we use. And the organ is actually in the back of the, there's a little room in the back where the organ, you know, people don't see where the organ pipes on and so forth. And there's actually a note written by the guy who had serviced the organ in 1960, and he speculated on the number of weddings and funerals that this organ had been played at. And he said, if it's properly maintained, there's no reason why it shouldn't last for at least another 60 years. And here we are 60 years later, still listening to the music that comes out of that organ.
Well, that's actually pretty amazing, too, because we have one over at the Vanderbilt Museum where I work, and it's a little different type. It's an Aeolian pipe organ, and it really takes endless maintenance to keep it running after all these years. And yours is actually much older than that.
Well, it's a real act of love to maintain it.
Well, everybody who's listening tonight, you can go onto our History Island Facebook page, and you'll be able to see some great pictures of the interior of that church and that organ and the stained glass window itself. I particularly love the image in the stained glass of the woman giving a coin to a poor beggar who's really down and out on their luck. I think it's a beautiful piece of work.
And the title of that, it's actually, when you look at that, you know, I mentioned we do a poetry program there once a month. And there's the last 50, I guess, 30 years or so, there's always been a poet laureate of Suffolk County. So we've had various poet laureates over the years that hosted the monthly poetry reading. There was a woman named Pramela, who was Indian ancestry, and she was listening to me tell the story of the organ, and she said, "What is that beer can on the left and of the window, rather?" She said, "What is that beer can on the left and beer can on the right?" Well, they're not beer cans; they're actually urns, and what they say on them is "caritas," which actually is Latin for charity. So, that window is she's supposed to be the embodiment of charity.
Oh, wow, that's an amazing story too. And of course, on Tuesday, you guys do interdenominational services, right, in the morning?
Yeah, actually, we did that today, and what we do is we bring in guest preachers as well. So many of your listeners will know about the jazz loft in Stony Brook, right next to the Three Village Inn. The director of that jazz loft is a very talented musician, jazz musician by the name of Tom Manuel, who also is a professor at Stony Brook, and he's also a very talented Pentecostal preacher. So once a month, he comes in and he actually does preaches us on the gospel. And we also have people from all different denominations not only come to the church. So a typical gathering would include Christians of all denominations. And then we also bring in guest preachers. And we've had the guy from the Greek Orthodox Church, Father Lou in Port Jefferson. We've had person from the local Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church, and recently, we had in Rabbi Benson from the North Shore Jewish Center. So it truly is an interfaith morning prayer service that we do every Tuesday, 8 o'clock. And it's also limited to 1.5 hour. So whenever we bring in the guest preacher, we say, "We'd love to have you. Go wherever the Holy Spirit guides you, but you got 10 minutes. Which is an adjustment for many of them.
Well, I also love that idea because it goes back to the old history of churches on Long Island when the preachers used to actually travel from one church to another because they couldn't really have their own preacher. And that's something that's mostly gone by the wayside. So you guys are actually bringing back an old tradition of Long Island with this historical church. I love that.
Yeah, and it's great to see, you know, all too often, and this is not a criticism, it's just a description, all too often people who do go to service, you know, never worship outside of their own building. So it's really neat to bring people together from all the different churches once a week.
Yes, I can only imagine. In fact, my wife and I are going to make it a point to come over there for the one of the services on Tuesday.
Oh, that'll be great. You will be greeted warmly.
Okay, and I'm going to put information up on our Facebook page, History Island, about how people can donate to do that work to make the place more handicap accessible, obviously. And I would encourage everybody, go take a look at the church, go visit. It's open every day. It's the most beautiful, peaceful, reflective place that you could go in. Just an amazing place.
Well, thank you, Dale. Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. Doors are open every day, and we welcome visitors at any time. And don't forget the race and the walk is this Sunday. Starts at 9 o'clock. Registration at the Riboli Center from 7:30 to 8:45.
Okay, great. I hope everybody will go over and check that event out. It's also one of many other events that are always going on in the village there. You can really never go wrong taking a visit to the little village there of Stony Brook, because there's so much culture and art and entertainment and different things happening. It's just a really wonderful place, and the people are wonderful, and they will welcome you in like you belong there. So, Daniel, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Dale. Be well. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Okay, so you're on History Island. I'm your host, Dale Spencer, on 103.9 FM, Long Island News Radio. And now we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and after we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the village, and we're going to have another special guest to help us with that. Everybody, welcome back to History Island on Long Island News Radio 103.9. I'm, of course, your host, Dale Spencer. Now, as we go through our show, if anybody has comments, questions, show suggestions, email me at historyislandli@gmail.com. I'd be really interested in hearing what people have to say about our show. So, of course, tonight we are on our autumn weekend visit to Stony Brook Village, an amazing, wonderful village. And we've talked about some things, and one thing I'd want to talk a little more about is the Joseph Riboli Center. And, of course, Daniel talked about Joseph Riboli and his connection to the town. It's a beautiful building. It's an old bank building in Stony Brook Village, and they've turned it into a beautiful art gallery building. They do all kinds of presentations there. Right now, they actually have a beautiful exhibit of Joseph Riboli's paintings. Really, really good stuff. They have a great lawn out back that sits right along the brook that runs from the grist mill, and there's a couple of Adirondack chairs there, and they welcome people to come by anytime they want. Sit in the backyard. It's that kind of village. You'll find in the village everywhere you go, it's a little town, and people welcome you in. So now we're going to talk a little more about the history of the village, and for that, I brought back my special guest, Robert von Wernowitz. He is an expert on the town, a docent in the Three Village Historical Society, and, of course, the administrator of the Frank Melville Park. So, anyway, welcome back, Robert.
Oh, thank you very much for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, why don't you talk a little bit about some of the history of the town?
Okay. Stony Brook is a hamlet on the northwestern part of Brookhaven Town. It sits between Smithtown on one side, headed to Harbor Village, and Setauket on the other. It's part of what they call the Three Villages. Now, the Three Villages are Stony Brook, Oldfield, and Setauket. And you can cheat a little bit by saying headed to Harbor and Poquot, which is borders Port Jefferson as well. The area originally was settled by the Settlecott Indians. They hunted, fished, and had villages along the waterways of Stony Brook. There were some settlements found on the areas of West Meadow Beach Peninsula. The artifacts can be found in the Indian Museum and in the Three Village Historical Society. With everything about settlers, once the people from Massachusetts purchased the land off the Settlecott Indians, the settlers started moving in droves into the Stony Brook, Setauket area. Brookhaven was formed in 1655. One of the earliest settlers of Stony Brook was Zachariah Hawkins. He moved there around the mid-1660s. with the proximity to the waterways, Stony Brook has its maritime history. Although the majority of shipbuilding went on in Setauket and Port Jefferson because of the deeper waters there, the sea captains tended to live in Stony Brook. At one time, the village boasted 36 sea captains. There is a number of historical houses that still exist in the village of Stony Brook. The residents are very conscientious about keeping up the beautiful charm of the New England-style village that Ward Melville had a big hand in creating. If you drive down Main Street in Stony Brook, you'll see some of these historic houses with their plaques on the front of the buildings. Some of the early buildings that exist today and are very well preserved by a number of organizations. One is the Three Village Community Trust, which has taken the reins of the Eliezer Hawkins House on Christian Avenue. Now, the left side of this house was built in the early 1700s, or possibly moved there. And the right side of the house was built in 1820. It's very well preserved. It went through a time period of neglect, but the Three Village Community Trust and the local residents banded together to get funds to restore the house. And it's coming along very nicely. They have a new roof. The interior is being cleaned up. And now they are having tours there on occasions. Another famous structure in Stony Brook is the Three Village Inn. It was originally called the Old Homestead, and it was built in 1751 by Richard Halleck. In 1835, a ship owner, Jonas Smith, purchased the house, and he died in 1867. There was a series of owners after that from about 1925, when Mrs. Frank Melville purchased it in 1929. She began to operate a tea room out of there where she served tea, sandwiches, and other cakes and other nice delights. It still continues as a restaurant today. The history continues. It's also a very nice wedding venue, and it has overnight accommodations.
Well, so that's pretty amazing. That's a piece of the history that's really never gone away. It's still operating today for everybody.
It's still operating today. And as a matter of fact, I celebrated my 40th anniversary there Saturday night.
Oh, that's great. And I know the food there is really wonderful.
Oh, I had scallops and my wife had the duck. It was delicious.
Oh, no, you're making me hungry now.
A few more houses that exist in Stony Brook. One very famous house is the Hawkins Mount House on the corner of 25A and Stony Brook Road. Eliezer Hawkins built the house. He was the son of Zachariah. And the story goes that as a ship captain, he was on a journey one day and came across a ship that had nobody on it. When they boarded the ship, they found a chest full of coins. After he distributed the coins to his staff, he used the rest of the money to purchase land in Stony Brook. One was the land where the Stony Brook Mount House and the Hawkins House stands, and the other is on Christian Avenue where the other house stands. So that's an interesting story.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Unfortunately, things like that never happen to me these days.
Yeah, the Hawkins Mount House ran as a tavern, and a very famous courier in the Culper Spy Ring, Jonas Hawkins, operated this tavern, and he used that excuse to get past British troops and checkpoints to pass messages on back and forth from Manhattan to the Setauket members. He lasted about 6 months till he couldn't take the heat anymore. Eventually, the house was passed down to William Sidney Mount, who is a very, very famous Long Island artist, as well as some of the other members of his family. His brother was a very famous artist. His sister was a very famous artist. It seemed to run in the family. So you might want to go take a look at that house. It's got a lot of history, and it's on the National Register of Historic Landmarks.
Oh, and people who are interested in historic houses, there's nowhere in anywhere else on Long Island where you're going to find an area that's been so well preserved that way.
Well, as I said, the residents are conscientious about that, and they had a lot of help from Ward Melville, which we'll get into. One final house that I wanted to talk about was the Country House, which sits on the corner of 25A and Main Street. This house was built by Obadiah Davis from Mount Sinai, circa 1710. This is also a restaurant today. It has a few very famous ghost stories about it. There was apparently a woman named Annette Williams who lived there, and it is said that she was either murdered because they thought she was a British sympathizer, or she was murdered by the British themselves. Through that time period, during the Revolution until today, people have claimed to see her ghost in the house on numerous occasions.
Yes, I've heard some of those stories. I've never seen the ghost. My sister-in-law got married there and had her reception there, and we didn't see any ghosts, but the stories are well known, and they've been going around for a long time on Long Island.
So as the seafaring town and the settlers got accustomed to their new land, a mill was built on the waterways on the streams that led into the Stony Brook Harbor. And the first mill was built by Adam Smith, son of Richard Boltsmith of Smithtown, in 1699. A second mill was built in 1751, and that mill is still in operation today with tours through the end of October on Sundays. So you can go in and see an actual mill in action, working perfectly, and it also sports a nice gift shop.
Yes, actually, my wife and I went this past Sunday to the mill, which was also the first museum I ever visited on Long Island when I moved out here from the Bronx as a seven-year-old. My mom brought me up there and brought me to the mill and to the Carriage House Museum. Well, go visit the mill if you can before the end of October, because it's an amazing visit, this ancient building. And when the millstone is running, the whole building vibrates. The tour is quite amazing. People never really get to see how flour was milled in the old days of Long Island. It's a pretty amazing visit, actually.
Yeah, I understand that. And I've been there myself, and it's so nice to see how how they worked it in times gone by. You had mentioned the Carriage House Museum, and this is where I would like to state how important it was for Ward Melville's work that he did in Stony Brook. Not only did he start the Village Center with the beautiful New England flair stores, and he did that to bring a New England style to the area, but he also founded the Long Island Museum in 1939. He did have help from his wife, Dorothy Bigelow Melville, and Robert Cushman Murphy, a naturalist, very famous Long Islander, Winfred Davis, a prominent doctor, and O.C. Lampert, an insurance broker. Together, they built this Long Island Museum, which had different names during the years, the Suffolk Museum and the Stony Brook Museum and so on. The museum houses a one-room schoolhouse, a blacksmith shop, and a world-class carriage museum, which was some of Ward Melville's collection, and they purchased others through the years. It also has an art gallery and a graveyard. In the art gallery, you'll see many, many William Sidney Mount paintings.
Wow, which is a great place to display them. And it's an amazing, it's another example of the community all banding together to start that museum to begin with. I just think the town has such a great cohesiveness to it, and the people have always stuck together and worked as one in that town. It's so impressive to see that.
That's true. One other thing about the Stony Brook Village Center, it was built to kind of resemble colonial Williamsburg. And not many people know, but behind the Stony Brook Center and that All Souls Church used to be an actual amphitheater built in 1947. another vision of Ward Melville to try to bring something like a Tanglewood up north in New England here to Long Island. Now, at this amphitheater called Dogwood Hollow, there were artists like Duke Ellington, Tony Bennett, Pete Seeger, Louis Armstrong, Benny Goodman, Count Basie, as well as Broadway shows. So it was a real nice community center that lasted from 1955 through 1970. Of course, rock and roll came in the 60s, and it put a little squeeze on the amphitheater, and eventually it had to close its doors.
Wow, that is an amazing lineup of people, before my time, obviously, but boy, would I have loved to have been able to be there and seen one of those shows.
Well, it was a lot of great talent. I also believe Buddy Rich played there. It was bringing jazz to the Long Island area, and now the Jazz Loft is carrying on that tradition as well.
Right, which is great, and the sound of jazz music is always in the air in the town, and it's one of the things I love walking around in the town. Everyone should take a visit and go visit the Jazz Center, and know that on a lot of weekends in the summer, you can hear some great music on the lawn right below the Village Center there. Now, one thing I had to point out, though, is so we have this great musical history that's going on, and then the 60s come, and Stony Brook University takes over the job of presenting the great musical acts.
Yes, they had a gymnasium there at the time, and they would feature concerts there, world-class events of many of the very popular bands in the 60s and the 70s. Some of the acts that have played right in the Stony Brook Gym are Janis Joplin, the Allman Brothers, Zappa, Lou Reed. I could go on forever and ever. I'm sure you've seen some shows there yourself.
Yeah, I didn't see these, but I know Jimi Hendrix, Simon & Garfunkel. And of course, through the 70s, when I was a young man, we were going up there all the time for concerts. I saw some of the greatest concerts I ever saw up there.
Yes, and a lot of people did. Eventually, they built a new stadium in Stony Brook, and I think it's the Wang Center?
Yes, the Wang Center.
The Wang Center. And I saw the Beach Boys there, and that's also another nice place to see a show in Stony Brook.
And I'm not really just saying that it had good music. The music that it had rivaled any of the best concert halls in the world over the couple of decades, including Bill Graham's halls like the Fillmore East. A lot of the artists that would play at the Fillmore East would then come and play a show out at Stony Brook University.
That's true. And it didn't stop there. In the 70s and 80s, there was a famous club called the Mad Hatter of Stony Brook, which also had bands like Twisted Sister, Zebra, Whitefire, and some of these bands went on to big things, as you know.
Yes, I can remember going to the Mad Hatter myself all the time. It was on a local route of clubs where all these great people used to play all over Long Island in the 70s. Just a great place. And of course, Twisted Sister became very famous and everyone knows them from there. But I saw a lot of great bands at the Mad Hatter.
Mm-hmm. I think they closed the doors in the mid-80s. One thing that Stony Brook has to offer for everybody is beautiful nature preserves. One is the West Meadow Nature Preserve. It's a peninsula that used to have numerous cottages, but they returned it back to its natural state and made a nice walking trail for everybody to enjoy at West Meadow. Another nice nature, Suffolk County Park, is Forsyth Meadow County Park on Hollow Road. It's a woodland trail, and it has another nice, lot of nice things to offer. And of course, the Stony Brook Beach and the right near the Stony Brook Yacht Club is a nice place to visit as well.
All right. All great places to go. I know we're big hikers ourselves and we love those parks. I would encourage everyone out there, if you're ever looking for a beautiful summer or fall weekend activity to do with the kids, take them for a walk in the woods. It's the greatest thing. They see the birds and the animals around them and the nature, and it kind of brings you back to yourself and gives a little balance to your life. A lot more interesting in a way a lot of times than, say, going to the mall and shopping and buying an ice cream. You know, there's a lot of things to do. I would advise to everybody, take a ride up to Stony Brook Village and go out and spend a day there with the kids. You won't find any shortage of things to do. It is just a wonderful place to go.
Yeah, if you look deeply into, if you go to the library and look up Stony Brook, you'll know that they have two one-room schoolhouses that were turned into private residence that still exist. There is a school at the Stony Brook Museum that was moved from West Setauket, right on the border of Stony Brook, that still exists there. You have the very nice prep school called the Stony Brook School across the street from the Stony Brook train station. And, of course, you have the world-class Stony Brook University.
Yeah, an amazing town. And, you know, as we're getting to the end of the show, we haven't really even talked about the other side of town over by the Stony Brook train station, where a number of great restaurants have opened up right near the Stony Brook School. And that area of town has developed in the last few decades into a kind of a great eating place that serves the college community.
Yes, they just enlarged the shopping district over there, directly across the street from the train station. And you have another nice restaurant called The Bench, which has live entertainment and a nice place to sit. And sometimes you'll even see the sports teams in there having meetings.
Oh, wow. That's pretty great. Yeah, so it's an amazing village. Go visit. Of course, with all the things we've talked about, we haven't really even gotten to scratch the surface of all the things there really are to do in that town. But that gives you a basic idea. Thanks to the Ward Melville Heritage Organization for really keeping the whole thing going. We'll be on in the future to talk about the museum that's going to open, Long Island Music Hall of Fame. So anyway, thanks a lot for coming. We're going to have you back soon because I think we're going to have to revisit this town soon.
I appreciate that. It's my pleasure to be here.
So thanks for coming. History Island, Long Island News Radio 103.9. I'm your host, Dale Spencer, and we'll see you back here next week.
And opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.